The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. There was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding. When the wine ran short, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, how does your concern affect me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servers, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for Jewish ceremonial washings, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told them, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Draw some out now and take it to the head waiter." So they took it. And when the head waiter tasted the water that had become wine, without knowing where it came from, although the servers who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves good wine first, and when the people have drunk freely, an inferior one. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this as the beginning of his signs at Cana in Galilee, and so revealed his glory, and his disciples began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord. To share with you a very precious story that happened with one of our kindergartners this week when I was in the sacristy getting ready for Mass, I think on Thursday when they were coming to Mass. Mrs. Simpson, the kindergarten teacher, always comes back to the sacristy to get her low-gluten host, and she usually brings one of the kindergartners with her just so they can kind of see the sacristy and to prepare for Mass in that way, to be able to hold the pyx reverently. And she usually asks them, you know, what does it look like the sacristy is for? They usually look around and they see me getting vested with the servers, and they're like, "Well, it looks like Father's getting ready for Mass. Yeah, okay, this is where we prepare for Mass. And what color is Father wearing?" And I was wearing green, like I am today. And he said, "Oh, we're wearing green." And Mrs. Simpson asked the kindergartner, "Well, what does green mean? What season is it?" I was fully expecting him to say ordinary time or something to that effect, or maybe he thought it was an expression of my fandom of some particular team. But he said, "Green is for the growing time." And she said, "Yeah, that's right. Green is for the growing time, sometimes called ordinary time." I thought that's a beautiful way to describe this season that we're entering into, that after the great joy of Christmas, much like after the great joy of the Easter season, we enter into ordinary time. It's not meant to be a boring time. It's meant to be a growing time. And maybe we don't have the high joys and celebrations that we had at those times of the year. We don't have the intense preparations that we have of Advent and Lent. But it is a time of growth. It's a time of slow, steady growth like the plants experience. That they can't put forth leaves and buds and flower well in the spring if they don't lay those deep roots and they don't slowly but surely grow each and every day. I think that's what the church invites us into during this ordinary time. It's to enter that growing time with Christ. To see the things that he's done throughout history, but also how that applies to us personally. I think there's 3 simple things that as Christians we should all seek to do in order to use this growing time well. Not just to kind of get through it to the great celebrations of the church year, but to use it in a way that leads us to this better wine that God has in store for us. The first way to use this growing time is through daily prayer. It's to have a time set aside, whether it's 20 minutes or 30 minutes or a whole hour, but to have time set aside that says, this is the time that I'm going to pray. that I'm going to bring my life to the Lord. Maybe I ask him for the things that I need or the things that I see are needed in the world around me, but also just to bring it and give it to him. I think this gospel story of the wedding feast at Cana is actually a great model for us. It's a great image that we can use for our prayer. And it kind of describes what this process of prayer looks like. That oftentimes we're just bringing our normal stuff. We're bringing the normal water that they have there at the wedding feast. Doesn't seem very special to us. Maybe it doesn't even really seem all that important in the grand scheme of things. But when we bring it to Jesus, when we bring it to him and say, Lord, this is what I have, he can transform it, not just changing it into something different, but changing it into the best wine, changing it into the best thing that leads us into greater union with God in heaven. And it kind of transforms our daily life here on earth into something that can be heavenly, that can be divine. I think we all need to have that time that we do spend in daily prayer. And that when it's difficult or a struggle, this story of the wedding feast at Cana is a great motivation. It's a great emphasis on what can bring us out of that rut in prayer. And that's simply to bring our problem to Mary, to bring it to the mother of Jesus. Because if you notice in the gospel, Mary doesn't come and say, hey, I talked to the bride and groom. They ran out of wine. They told me they need you to do something. They need you to make more wine. They need you to fix the thing. Mary doesn't actually have the solution in today's gospel. It seems pretty obvious what the solution is, but she doesn't have the solution ready at hand. She simply brings the problem to Jesus. Okay, confidence and faith that he'll do something about it, that he'll notice the needs of his people. Brothers and sisters, in our daily prayer life, that's what Mary can help us to do. That we don't have to go to her and say, Mary, I need you to do this, this, and this, and take that to Jesus as kind of my heavenly emissary, the one taking my message to him. Instead, sometimes we can just bring the problem. You say, Mary, I don't really know what to ask for in this situation. I don't know how to fix it or what to do. I don't know what I need more of or what I need less of, but I bring it and I give it to you. Take it to your son for me. Take it to Jesus so he can be the one that brings me what I need, especially if I don't know exactly what that is. Mary is a great example of that great faith and trust in God our Father. It's not as if we have to have the right answer, that we have to kind of work out the puzzle for God to ask him for the right thing in the right way. Instead, it's more about us bringing that problem or concern to him. So one, we have to have that daily prayer life, that daily time that's dedicated to being with God and communicating with him. The second thing that all of us need in order to use this growing time well is regular confession. Now, many of us go to confession, especially before Christmas and Easter, and that's very good to prepare for those high holy days to make sure that we're clean of sin and ready for that celebration. But I think when we only go to confession maybe a couple times a year, it's really hard for us to remember what God has been doing in that time. I really recommend people go to confession at least once a month, maybe every 6 weeks at the most, because honestly, our memories can't remember a whole lot more than that. I think it's more of a human limitation than anything, but if I go to confession every month, it gives me a chance to really think about not only how have I sinned or failed, but also what are those weaknesses that I want to ask God to fill up? Where do I need God to be my strength in my daily life? Where's that area of growth that I can actually see God making progress, and maybe I haven't overcome that sin yet, but I can continue to come to him over and over again, continue to trust in his mercy, not only to forgive me, but actually to heal me and to fix the sin, to fix the problem. I think that regular confession allows us to do that, to not just use confession as a way to get rid of sin, but to really see how God's grace is working in our lives, how he's giving us what we need to conquer those sins and to become the saints that he wants us to be. So daily prayer life, daily time spent in prayer, that regular encounter of mercy in the sacrament of confession. And then the third thing I think that will use or make this growing time effective is to encounter the Gospels, to encounter the Word of God every day. I think every day we need to take some time to read from the Gospels. It could be the daily reading for that day. It could be just reading through a book or a section of the Bible. But the beauty of going to the Lord every day in the Scriptures is that if our prayer time is our time to kind of express to God what we need and to talk to Him, the Word of God is meant to be how we hear His voice, how we hear God speaking to us, how we can hear how His voice echoes throughout the centuries and generations. We start to read the Gospels and the stories in the Bible not just as something that happened in the past, but as something that God did in the past and that might show how He's wanting to act in my life, that I can actually apply it to what's going on today. One of the most effective ways I've experienced that in my life is just taking a psalm each month. So I'll take a different numbered psalm from the book of Psalms and pray it every day for a month. Usually just at the beginning of the day, I'll read through it. And then usually about halfway through the month, I have it pretty well memorized. I pretty much can say it by memory, or at least I can get through what all the stanzas are basically saying. And the beauty is then that becomes a way that I can naturally turn to God. That because I'm so familiar with the Psalms, then when I'm going through something, I can say, is there a psalm that expresses exactly what I want to say to God, my Heavenly Father? Maybe in moments of trial or difficulty, I can think of one of the Psalms of David crying out to God for help. When I feel great sorrow for my sins or almost a sense of despair that I'm still struggling with certain things, I can echo those Psalms of contrition. Or even in the joys and happiness of my life and amazement at the abundance that God gives, and I can rejoice and express one of those Psalms of joy. It doesn't have to be that way for you, but I think we have to have a regular way to read the Scriptures, to encounter it, so that we can hear God's voice. So it's not just us talking to Him. We can actually hear Him in our lives, and we can actually see how that's effective and actually still happening today. Brothers and sisters, let us take this growing time of ordinary time as a time to follow God. Not just to do the ordinary things and to kind of go back into our routines. Some of them probably we will, and that's a good thing. Let us find a way to use that time of daily prayer to express what we need to God and to bring Him the ordinary things of our day. Let us use the sacrament of confession regularly, about every month, so that we can receive God's mercy, but also that we can see how His strength is there in our weakness. Let us read the Scriptures, to listen for the Word of God, daily if possible, so that through God's Word and His grace, we can be transformed. So that like the story of the wedding feast at Cana, we can take those normal things we have in our daily lives that seem rather unimportant. We can take those gallons and gallons of water that are put before Jesus, and that He can turn them into something new. Not just changing it into wine or something joyful out of our sorrow, but instead giving us the best wine, giving us the best thing, showing that He always has something new in store for us. Not leaving us where we're at, but leading us slowly and steadily to the eternal joys of His heavenly kingdom.